Well, hello, this is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And my guest today is John Lahan, the bassist for Blackstone Cherry. And about a year ago, I spoke with guitarist Ben Wells as the band was about to release their second album of blues covers, but now they're ready to unleash just a monster of a record called The Human Condition, which comes out everywhere October 30th. Please welcome John Lahan. Welcome, John.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I mentioned talking to Ben last year for the Back to Blues 2 EP, and he said that the creative process for that, for this new record, was about to begin. Do the covers EPs that you guys do kind of contribute to your creative process, or are they more of a palate cleanser so you can start fresh?
Honestly, a little bit of both, you know, because the blues covers that we do, I mean, while Family Tree was a little bit more lined up with that kind of stuff, you have to kind of look at the lineage of it. We did the Kentucky record, which is the first self-produced album that we did. And it was, it had a whole lot of that roots rock stuff in it, but it still had that little bit of like a metal edge, hard rock front, you know. Then we did the blues EP. And when we did that, it really just rejuvenated our spirits, right? So it made perfect sense that we came after that blues EP, the first one, with the Family Tree record. Super rootsy, deep into the blues rock world.
Right.
Stretching our legs out and all the jam band kind of vibe and all that. And then we did Black to Blues 2. And that, I guess the first one was kind of like a return to roots, get game face on for the next album. And the second one was kind of like a palate cleanse. So I guess it kind of has a little bit of both on both of those.
Well, it's funny, because that's exactly where I was going to bring you, is, you know, you kind of hear that influence on the Family Tree record, but this one, and, you know, we'll get deeper into the record as we go on, but this one just sounds so different from what you guys have done before. You know, it's almost like you came back with just, you know, a whole new idea.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we did this record, we were very focused on making sure sonically it just annihilated anything that we had ever done before. You know, not to, like, take anything away from all the past records that we've done, but we wanted to make sure that, first and foremost, and I especially, because I own the studio that we recorded it at, I wanted to make sure, the band did, my head engineer, my second engineer, we all focused on making sure that it was undeniably a monster sounding album. That was first and foremost. For the first 4 or 5 days when we first started this process, we went through 3 or 4 different drum kits and 7 different ways of miking each of them, recorded, you know, 20 minutes of each, and sat back and listened to all these different drum sounds that we had invented, and then kind of pieced it all together into what we ended up using. And once we had that set up together, then it was on into tracking drums. So we were tracking, like, DI sounds on guitars and bass just to get the rudimentary layout of the song together. And then we fed that back to John Fred in headphones so the three of us could stand there without having to focus on playing music. First time we had ever done this process like this before, ever. We weren't worried about playing our parts or following the arrangement. All we were worried about at that point, because we'd already laid these really strong scratch tracks down, was paying attention to John Fred, making sure that every kick drum pattern, every cymbal whip, every crash, every snare drum fit the song, not just the moment. You know, so it was the first time we were ever able to truly top to bottom produce the entire album.
Yeah, and again, as I was kind of putting this together and listening to it, I was, not to take anything away from the previous records, but this one just sounds so different. There's a maturity and a muscle to it that it really feels like a turning point for the band. You know, did the fact that this was kind of all recorded during a pandemic and kind of blew your original timeline, did it give you extra time to kind of go back and get some of those sounds and rework the songs?
Honestly, no, not really. We were towards the end of the process, right around the time our governor was signing mandates and starting to, you know, shut everything down. we had, I think he did the everybody shut down thing about 5 days before we actually stopped. Because again, I own the studio, it's private property. Nobody can do anything. So it was six people in the building, seven, I'm sorry, including the video guy, in the building the entire time. So we just kept hammering it out, and we were so close to the end, it didn't matter anyways. I think the way that the pandemic and all that affected us was we would take about an hour or so break every afternoon as it would kind of come in, and we would kind of sit back and watch our phones to see what was going on with the news, like what's happening in the world right now. You know, and we had never done that before. Of course, we never had anything this prolific going on during our recording process before. So it kind of made sense that we were doing that, considering what was going on.
Sure.
The bizarre thing to me is how perfectly all these songs fit the world that we live in right now, when half of them were written, you know, 20 years ago, 16 years ago, 12 years ago, 5 years ago, and so on, because we wrote a lot of the songs that are on this new record years ago. It's stuff that our record label moronically looked over, not for a lack of better term. You know, they just looked over it. I don't understand why they just did. At this point now, though, seeing them all together, I understand perfectly why they overlooked them. The songs would not have worked for the albums that we had them written specifically for at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They work perfectly together in this collection. Because when you listen, I feel like this is, since Folklore read like a book. When you listen to the first track on Folklore, you could listen to that entire album until the very end, and you felt like you were going on a musical journey. That record is the closest thing to a concept album we've ever done. Now, once we did this one, we've kind of returned to that, which I love because it's a nonstop journey. When you start listening, starting with Ringing in My Head on through for the entire thing, and it's so much cooler, though, because it does fit today so well that people can really immerse themselves in it, because a lot of the emotions that it's conveying are emotions that we're all experiencing right now.
Exactly. And the title itself, you know, The Human Condition, and each song, as you mentioned, kind of reads like a book. You feel the emotion and the conditions kind of going through each song and what, you know, the protagonists in the song are going through, that when you first listen to it, you think like, okay, well, this was something written for the pandemic. But it's interesting to hear that these songs were really, you know, done a long time ago.
Yeah, well, like Ringing in My Head, for example, you know, the first words you hear on the album are, people, your attention, please. I need to tell all y'all about a new disease. Crept right up from underneath our nose. What happens next, we already know. Those words were written 4.5 years or so before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to be perfect. That's why we started the record off with that song, because there's something else too. The, you know, Big Noise, whatever, and then verse. No riff, no nothing. It's business time.
Right.
And that's what I loved about having that song in that place, because it just gets straight to the point and drags the listener in right off the bat. Hits them right in the chin. They don't have a chance.
And you guys have always credited all of the writing to the band as a whole. You know, what's the process?
Yeah.
Do you guys, you know, and you mentioned with this record, these songs were all written, you know, sometimes years ago, but do you normally have everything kind of planned out and then everyone comes together? Do you work on it together in the studio? How do you guys usually do it?
That process has really shifted, changed, and evolved a lot over the last 20 years. When we were kids, you know, we were very green. So we would write and rehearse and play songs out live and rehearse a lot more and a whole lot more. And then we would go into the studio and we would have it all perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then as time has gone on, you know, we kind of did the same process with Folklore. Bob Marlette was the same way. We did the 2-week pre-production thing with him where we co-wrote a bunch of songs and then we spent a month just rehearsing the fire out of them. Then we went into Blackbird studio and recorded it, very rehearsed. Since then, at this point, we go in with a general rough idea, most usually when it comes to new material. We'll have some of the lyrics, sometimes all the lyrics, most usually it's like a piece of the lyric. And we'll have a general idea of what the shape of the song will be, just because the song usually dictates to us pretty quickly and easily where it needs to go. You know, like intro, full band intro, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, short re-intro, you know, things like that. They just kind of flow, and a band tends to kind of get into their own scheme of things when it comes to that. We mix it up quite a bit by doing it, but it's purely how that piece of music might make one or all of us feel at that time as to where we're going to go next with it. So that kind of is easy for us because we've been doing this together for years and years and years. We're almost at the 20-year mark, the four of us. So it's a pretty simple process for us at this point. But, I mean, as far as being well-rehearsed going in, no, not really. We just kind of let it all dictate itself to us as we go and just let it be that living, breathing thing that it is.
And once you have this record done, and again, you started working on this long before, you know, everything began to shut down, I'm sure you already had the beginnings of a tour outline. Once all that got scrapped, did you guys have any sort of second thoughts about putting the record out now, not knowing when you'll be able to hit the road behind it?
You know, there were a lot of different ideas back and forth as far as that goes. Originally, it was supposed to come out here. I want to say it was like late August, if I remember correctly. But we pushed it back. You know, label management wanted to push it back or whatever. But they weren't really pushing it back necessarily due to the pandemic. They were pushing it back due to the lead time. They wanted to have extra time to work in the marketing essentials and all that stuff. So that was cool, you know. And the band, I mean, the four of us kind of went back and forth as to what we were going to do in regards to the way the world is and touring and everything else. Because, I mean, as it stands right now, our record comes out the 30th of October. The music business as a whole is not expecting to get back to normal until about a year from now.
Right.
You know, and that's given – you know, states and countries and all that stuff relax and allow, you know, shows to happen. It all just depends on that, you know, and that's, they say it's dependent or contingent upon a vaccine or faster, more efficient testing, you know, things like that. Personally, I mean, I'm just one guy. I just feel like, you know, we've had the flu for years and it's more deadly than this. So, you know,
right.
The problem with this is the incubation period is so long, you don't know how many people you could possibly infect in that time. I get that, and that's terrible, and I hate the fact that, you know, a lost life is a lost life, and that's awful. But, you know, me personally, I'm just not going to sit at home and watch the world around me go to hell when I've got stuff to do. I got people to see, you know?
Yeah, and in this climate, you know, where you have people that won't leave their house versus people that want to live their lives and things like that, it's really hard not to come across as being political in your writing and in your art and in your music and still be taken seriously. But I think you guys really achieve that on this record, as it's more about kind of what we as a society and you guys in particular are going through without getting dragged into the politics of it. Are you guys sort of the type that really say, like, okay, we're going to leave that out of this, or if it comes up,
we try our absolute best to stay non-political. You know, we of course all have our political views. Every person in the world does. I'll be honest with you, as of right now, this is the first time and I'm not going to tell you which way or the other. I won't. But this is the first time in the band's career that we've all been on the same page as to who we feel should be voted for. first time in our career. We've always, you know, it's never been like, oh, I'm going to beat you up because you like this guy and I like this. And it doesn't have, you know, we're not like that. Neither one of us are far left or far right. We're all kind of like more centralized. We're close to that line. We're more independent than anything.
Right.
You know, a lot of the songs that we've released over the years have had political, like, underlying statements and messages. You know, with military and all kinds of stuff. I mean, Lonely Train, our first single, that's about war, you know, Long Sleeves is another one that's about war. You know, we've had several songs here like that. Peace is Free is a general message to the globe, not saying that freedom is free, because it's not. Freedom is fought and died for. But the possibility of peace being freely given and accepted globally is not a far-fetched idea. The whole point of writing that song, if everybody would just basically shut up, mind their own business, and appreciate the other person that they're standing next to's opinion, then everything would be fine.
Simple
as that.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with the political climate that we're living in right now with Trump and Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Just appreciate the other person's viewpoint and discuss. Discuss all you want, for sure. Mm-hmm. You might be able to teach somebody something, or you yourself might be able to learn something. I'm 37 years old. I'm not an old man by any means. I'm still a pretty young guy, but I'm not a 22-year-old, you know, wet behind the ears anymore either. You know, but fact of the matter is, I could still walk into a music store today and hear a 9-year-old playing guitar, and they could play a lick I've never heard before.
Right.
And when they do that, I'm going to pay attention. I do. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll learn that lick. I'll hear it and go, oh, that's a pretty cool lick. And then I'll apply that to something later on down the road. I've done it countless times. You know, I've got an 8-year-old little girl who likes to play drums, and I've been trying to teach her stuff here and there on how to play. And, you know, mistakes sometimes are the most beautiful thing in this world, because when I watch my little 8-year-old daughter make a mistake playing drums, it's still drums. It's still a percussive instrument. She basically just flips the beat, and she doesn't realize it. You know, she just sees it that she messed up, and I hear that the beat has just shifted by a half measure. She just added a 2/4 measure into a 4/4 situation, and I go, oh, that's a pretty cool thing, actually. She's just like, oh, man, I messed up. And I'm like, no, you messed up, but you gave your daddy a great idea.
Yep, keep playing.
You know, and the same thing applies with the political stuff that's going on and all that. If everybody would spend a little bit more time listening, a little less time yelling, we would get a lot farther.
Completely agree. Well said. And I know, too, in addition to the record coming out on the 30th, you guys have a live stream.
Yes.
That'll be coming to us. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with that.
A few days ago, let's clear this first. We live in Kentucky. We're in a little backwoods here. We don't have the world's fastest internet available to us. So to avoid the possibility of the live stream going down and a lot of people being upset that, you know, midstream it shut off, you know, something like that, we went in and pre-recorded and pre-shot an hour and 20-some minute, I believe, performance. We went to SkyPack in Bowling Green. SkyPack stands for Southern Kentucky Performing Arts Center. It's a big, really beautiful theater, the modern theater. So it's got, like, acoustical baffling and things like that all over the place. We set up very oddly. We set up in a circle instead of facing out towards where the crowd would be. We set up to where we could feed off of each other. Okay? Because without the crowd, we had to add something to feed off of, right? So we faced each other, and we put some really cool can lights behind us and all that, kept the lighting package real simple but straightforward and rock and roll, you know, and just went in. And for the first time, I did the math the day of the show. For the first time in 242 days, Blackstone Cherry reunites to play an actual live performance. The last performance we played before that one was PDR, Professional Bull Riders, have kind of made us their flagship band. We recorded their theme song and all that for them, and they use it for their TV commercials and radio ads and all that stuff. But occasionally they'll have us do, like, kind of like their halftime performance.
Right.
They had us play at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium in Arlington on February the 15th. And that was the last time the four of us stood on a stage together until last Wednesday.
Wow. But it felt great.
It did feel good. But I'll tell you right now, the rehearsal that happened the day before that, we all realized very quickly that we need to practice more. We had to get those chops back before we did that performance, you know.
So that will be airing in conjunction with the album release, correct?
Yes, exactly. We were talking about doing it earlier, but we were like, we don't want to be in competition with ourselves,
right.
You know. So we're doing this one on the day the album is released, and depending on how well it does, we'll go do another one. If it doesn't do all that great, then we won't. You know, it all just depends on what people are getting into. I've seen some other bands that have had some great success doing it, and other bands that are really great bands haven't had great sales. It all really honestly just depends on what their demographic and clientele is as to whether or not they're computer savvy or not, you know, which we kind of, again, we kind of straddle the fence there because we've got fans that are, you know, 15 years old. I just did an interview earlier with a guy that was like, yeah, whenever Blame It on the Boom Boom came out, that was a song I always listened to when I went to parties in high school. And I was like, yeah, I got you by a decade, bud. We did Blame It on the Boom Boom when I was knocking on 30. But, you know, at the same time, though, we have fans that are 75, 80 years old that were big rock fans in the 60s, 70s, you know. So we hit so many different age ranges. Maybe the youth of our fan base will assist the elderly in getting their technology stuff together so we can have a great turnout for it.
Well, I got you by a decade, but I will definitely be tuning in for it.
Awesome. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I've been talking today with John Lahan from Blackstone Cherry. I can't say enough great things about the Human Condition. I really think it's the best thing you guys have done. It blew me away from first listen. It's a really strong record.
Awesome. Thank you very, very much.
Best of luck with it. Best of luck with the live stream. And hopefully we'll catch you guys on tour sometime in the next year or so, especially when you hit up here in the Northeast.
Awesome. You know what? When the bus pulls in the yard, I'll be the first one on it. I promise you that.
Sounds good. John, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to speak with you. Thank you, and best of luck with the new record.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it.
You got it.